Welcome to Torah Imecha Parsha. My name is Adina Schmidman. As we approach Shabbat Shuvah and Yom Kippur next week, I would like to take this opportunity to wish you and your family a year of good health, happiness, and holiness. Gemar Chasima Tova from the OU Women's Initiative team. In case you've missed any of the recent Yemei Ratzon programs, please go to ouwomen.org/yr23. And now for this week's Parsha.
Welcome to Torah Imecha Parsha with the OU Women's Initiative. My name is Leah Feinberg, and today we will be studying Parashat Ha'azinu, one of the 10 Shirot, poetic songs in Tanakh. The Shirat of Ha'azinu, or Shirat Moshe, as it is termed by Chazal, stands out in contrast to the other 9 poetic songs noted by Chazal. The other 9, including the 10th Shirah, which will Be'ezrat Hashem be recited soon upon the arrival of Mashiach, are all jubilant, triumphant songs celebrating a great victory or redemption, such as Shirat Hayam, recited at the conclusion of Kriyat Yamsuf, the splitting of the sea, or Shirat Devorah, after the victory of Devorah and Barak in Nachal Kishon. Parashat Ha'azinu, on the other hand, is replete with psukim describing the terrible punishments that will befall the Jewish people in the future. As we learned last week, the Shirah of Ha'azinu was taught to Moshe Rabbeinu to be read in times of great distress. In Parashat Vayelech, Perek Lamed Aleph, Pasuk Chaf Aleph, chapter 31, verse 21, V'haya ki timtzena oto ra'ot rabot v'tzarot, ve'anta ha'shira hazot lefanav la'ed, ki lo tishachach mipi zar'o. And it will be, when they encounter many evils and troubles, this song will bear witness against them, for it will not be forgotten from the mouth of their descendants. As such, this doesn't sound very much like a song we would like to sing. Who wants to sing a song that testifies against us? Even if it's expressed in the most beautiful poetic terms, a punishment is still a punishment, not cause for singing. And yet, in the Sefer Agra de Pirka, the B'nai Yisaschar teaches, Nir'ali b'skula l'ilmod b'chol yom shirat ha'azinu, b'hu s'gula li hinatzel mi'apikorsut u'meideot ha'kozvot. It appears to me to be a s'gula, a remedial or protective practice, to study shirat ha'azinu daily in order to be protected from heresy and false beliefs. How can it be that ha'azinu is both testimony against us and an antidote to heresy and disbelief? In the Shirah itself, we are castigated for our lack of belief in Hashem and warned of the corresponding punishment. Pasuk Chaf, verse 20, Vayomir astira fanai mehem, ere ma'acharitam, ki dor tahapuchot hema, banim lo emun bam. Hashem says, I will hide my face from them, and I will see what their end will be. For they are a capricious generation, faithless children. As we learned last week, Hester Panim, Hashem hiding his face, is both a punishment and a promise. Hashem may hide his presence, but he is still there. Rav Soloveitchik Zatzal recalls asking his Malamed in Cheder, who had taught the Midrash that God cries in mourning for the destruction of the temple during the 9-day mourning period leading up to Tisha B'Av, why does God have to cry? He is omnipotent. With his word, he created the whole world. Certainly, he can rebuild the temple. The Rav explains that while as a child he did not comprehend his teacher's response, many years later he came to understand that God does not act in a vacuum. There is no it'aruta de la'ela, awakening above, without a corresponding it'aruta de la'tata, an awakening below, here on earth. Man himself must reveal the Shekhinah. We can find God in every event, time, and place, even and perhaps especially in times of suffering. God is indeed omnipotent, but the task of revealing his presence is the great mission of the Jewish people. The Pasuk accuses us of being banim lo emun bam. The Sifrei in Ha'azinu 3:20 explains, Rabbi Dustai ben Yehuda Omer, Al tihi kore lo emun bam, ela lo amen bam, shelo hayu rotzim la'anot amen. Rabbi Dustai ben Yehuda teaches, Do not read the verse as lo emun bam, because it's written without the vav between the mem and the nun. It can be read lo amen bam, for they did not wish to respond amen when the prophets blessed them at the time when the Beit HaMikdash was standing. This phenomenon was so devastating that it is memorialized in the keynote of Tisha B'Av. In the 10th kina, Eicha Yashva Chavatzelet HaSharon, the verse reads, Zachra Zman, Asher Na'asev Nishma Heshivu, Ve'ata Anot Amen Lo Avu. She, the temple, the Chavatzelet HaSharon, remembered a time when the nation proclaimed Na'asev Nishma, our faith in Hashem is so absolute that we commit to accepting Torah and mitzvot even before we know exactly what they entail. Now, the nation refuses to even answer Amen. The Rav teaches that when one recites a bracha, he is in essence saying, Master of the universe, you are hidden behind a cloud. No one sees you. Yet, as I drink this glass of water, I reveal your presence. The very fact that I can eat, that my body absorbs food, that I can digest. Indeed, the entire biological process behind food consumption and the creation of food itself is testimony to your presence. Through this bracha, this recognition, I am removing the obscuring cloud. I am revealing you. Thus, the active refusal of the people to answer Amen demonstrates that they refuse to accept the basic principles of our faith and to surrender to God. Recitation of Amen constitutes ha'amanat devarim, a declaration that the words spoken are true. Rav Moshe Wolfson Shlita in his Sefer Emunat Itecha points out that Parashat Ha'azinu is always read before Sukkot. The Sukkah is called Tzila Demehemnuta, the shadow of faith. The gematria, the numerical value of the word Sukkah, is equivalent to that of the word Amen. Both answering Amen and sitting in the Sukkah are active expressions of our emunah, of man recognizing the presence of God in the world. Parashat Ha'azinu calls upon us to reveal God's omnipresence. Three times in the parasha, twice in the Shira itself, and once in its aftermath, we are called upon to pay attention, to take note of God's hand in the history of the world. In Pasuk Zayin, verse 7, the Shira calls out to us, Zechor yemot olam, binu shnot dor vador, she'al avicha v'yagedcha, zekeinecha v'yomru lach. Remember the history of the world. Comprehend the years of past generations. Ask your father, and he will tell you, your elders, and they will speak to you. Later in the parak, in a devastating passage, Hashem declares that if not for the possibility that the nations of the world would misinterpret his actions and deny the role of God in history, he would have completely wiped out the Jewish people. The only thing holding him back was the concern that the nations of the world might think that it was their own might that conquered the Jewish people. Pen yomru yadenu rama, velo Hashem pa'al kol zot. Lest they say, our hand has triumphed. It is not Hashem who did all this. Ki goy oved etzot hema, ve'en bahem tvuna. For they are a nation devoid of sense. They have no understanding. There's a difference of opinion in the Midrash as to who is being referred to here. Who is the goy oved etzot, the nation at a loss for ideas? Rabbi Yehuda explains these psukim in reference to the Jewish people, who have lost their connection to Torah, and therefore lack an understanding of history. They don't see the cause and effect of their own behaviors, and attribute the evils that befall them to the capriciousness of history, rather than the hands of God. Rabbi Nechemia explains that the nations of the world have lost their commitment to the seven Noahide laws, and similarly fail to see the hand of God in historical events, attributing their victories over the Jewish people to their own might, and failing to see that it is due to the sinfulness of the Jewish people that God has temporarily allowed them to have the upper hand. As such, they fail to realize that ultimately they too will be punished for their cruelty and misdeeds. The pasuk continues, Lu chachmu yaskilu zot, yavinu la'acharitam. If only they were wise, they would contemplate this and know what their end would be. So if we follow the thought processes expressed in the Midrash, If the pasuk is referring to the Jewish people, Hashem is expressing the desire that we attend to the lessons of history, take note of the cause and effect, and thus anticipate that if we persist in doing evil, we will continue to be punished. Obviously, if we were to sufficiently attend to this process, it should lead us to change our behavior for the better and bring about sincere tshuva. If we interpret the psukim in reference to the nations of the world, then the implication is that if they correctly interpret the lessons of history and reveal that God is in fact directing its course, they will anticipate their own future punishment. The third call for us to attend to the lessons of history comes at the end of the parasha, when Moshe concludes his teaching of the Shira to Bnei Yisrael and calls out to them in Pasuk Mem Vav, verse 46, Vayomer Elohim, Simu levavchem l'chol hadvarim asher anochi me'id bachem hayom, asher titzavim et bneichem lishmor la'asot et kol divrei ha-Torah hazot. He said to them, Simu levavchem, take to heart. This is the source for the contemporary Hebrew idiom, lasim lev, meaning to pay attention. Don't just hear what I'm saying superficially in one ear and out the other, but really take to heart, pay attention to the message of all that I am testifying to you today, and charge your children to observe all the words of this Torah. Ki lo davar reku mikem, ki hu chayechem, uvadavar hazeh ta'arichu yamim al ha'adama asher atem ovrim et hayarden shama lirishta. For these are not merely empty words. This is your life. With these words, you will endure in the land that you are crossing the Yarden to inherit. This threefold repetition constitutes the theme of Parashat Ha'azinu. Study the history of the world. Comprehend the cause and effect of its cycles and attend to its messages. The last pasuk of the Shira is a familiar one, as it is cited in the weekly tefillah of Av HaRachamim that we say on Shabbat morning prior to returning the Sefer Torah to the Aron after the Torah reading. Harninu goyim amo, ki dam avadav yikom, v'nakam yashiv letzarav v'chiper admato amo. Sing praise, nations of the world, for his people, for Hashem will avenge the blood of his servants and inflict revenge upon his adversaries and appease his land and his people. The Ramban explains, it is clear that this pasuk is referring to the future Geula, for this promise was not fulfilled with the rebuilding of the Second Temple. He notes that this promise is unconditional. Unlike the reconciliation foretold in Parashat Nitzavim, it is not predicated upon tshuva or renewed service of Hashem. Rather, it is an unequivocal promise that even though the Jewish people will sin unforgivably, and Hashem will bring terrible punishments upon us, he will never completely destroy us. There will always be a remnant of the Jewish people who will endure for the sake of God's glory. And this promise is why Ha'azinu is a song. It is a song of anticipation of the future Geula. Just as the promises of punishment have been realized, so too the promise of redemption at the end of days will be realized. Ramban cites the Sifrei, which teaches, Gdola shira zo sheyesh ba achshav, v'yesh ba l'she'avar, v'yesh ba l'atid lavo, v'yesh ba ba'olam hazeh, v'yesh ba le'olam haba. Great is this song, for it contains the present, the past, and the future, matters of this world and matters of the world to come. The Ramban notes further that when Moshe Rabbeinu taught the words of the Shira to the Jewish people, the text states, Vaydaber et kol divrei hashira hazot be'oznei ha'am. Moshe taught all the words of this song to the people. Why all? Would we have thought that he might have left some out? The Ramban suggests that Moshe spoke to the people at greater length than what was recorded of the future Geula. And the Ramban then makes a rather daring assessment. He states that even if this Shira were recorded by some random stargazer, we would have to believe it, because it has been such an accurate record of future history. Everything foretold in Parashat Ha'azinu has come to pass, without exception. How much more so should we believe in the veracity of this prophecy, having been delivered to us by Moshe Rabbeinu himself, not some random stargazer, but the greatest prophet of all time, as his last message before his death. Therefore, it certainly behooves us to learn the lessons of faith taught therein, and to faithfully await the fulfillment of the last verse, Bimhera Biyaminu, when we will be able to sing joyfully of all that has transpired to bring us to that point. Best wishes for a Gmar Chatima Tova for us and for all of Klal Yisrael. Thank you for learning together.